Hello, and welcome to the Bamboo Lab Podcast with your host, peak performance coach, Brian Bosley. Are you stuck on the hamster wheel of life, spinning and spinning, but not really moving forward? Are you ready to jump off and soar? Are you finally ready to sculpt your life? If so, you've landed in the right place. This podcast is created and broadcast just for you. All of you strivers, thrivers, and survivors out there. If you'd like to learn more about Brian and the Bamboo Lab, feel free to reach out to explore your true peak level at www.bamboolab3.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. I'm so excited for today's episode. I've been waiting for this for the past couple of weeks and been excited. We have a really good, amazing guest on, inspiring, a good friend of mine of the past 6 years. But before we get into talking about our guest, I just want to thank all of you out there, all of you in the Bamboo Pack, and all of the amazing guests we've been able to bring on who've taken their time to come on this show. We just got a report that we are still, as of this year and last year, we were as well, we are still in the top 25% of all podcast downloads in the world, and we're growing in that 25%. So our goal is to get to 10% by the end of this year and then continue up. But that's it's all I do is offer a platform and ask questions. It's all because of the guests we bring on and all of you out there, people who want to grow, who want to learn, who want to grab that wisdom from the people we bring on, like we will be today. So thank all of you from the bottom of my heart. This journey has been greater than I expected. It's all because of all of you. I haven't really dedicated an episode in quite some time. We were doing it for a while, but I want to dedicate this one to a special little friend of ours who passed away 4 weeks ago tomorrow. Our little dog, Chloe, of 13 years, left this earth and crossed that, what they call the Rainbow Bridge, in my arms and in my son Dawson's arms on the Wednesday before Christmas, after spending 13 years protecting our family and loving us, all of us unconditionally. So this one's for you, little girl. All right, so today, folks, I'm excited to talk to this amazing lady. She's been a friend, as I said, for 6 years now. We have Naomi Riley on, and before we really officially introduce her, I want to share with you a little bit about Naomi. And just, you're going to love her. And one of the things I want to share is, as I was preparing this morning for today's show, I was thinking about the conversations I've had with Naomi over the years. And one of the things I've always teach my clients, and I've shared this on the show so many times, our primary focus in life as a human is to increase the sense of self-worth of those around us. And those people who do that, to me, are the most amazing people on the planet. And what I remember about Naomi is that she does that. When you're with her, she can make you feel like you're the only person in the room, and she really has an amazing ability to just make you feel special about who you are. So that's why I'm so excited to have her on here today. So let me share a little bit about her. Naomi is a brain injury survivor turned influential motivational speaker. She has really catalyzed change in mental health and education reform. Her personal triumph over adversity underpins her advocacy for inclusive education for those with mental health issues and cognitive challenges. Her 2023 release of 25 activity books for K-12 students underscores her commitment to educational improvement. Naomi's consulting agency, which flourished by providing pivotal financial guidance during the 2020-2021 pandemic, has now become a multi-million dollar enterprise, making her services highly, highly sought after. As she champions neurodiversity and mental well-being, Naomi is inspiring a broad spectrum of individuals, from educators to policymakers, to redefine success and support every individual's potential to thrive in every aspect of life. Whew! I don't even think I could give you a better introduction, Naomi, but there's so many things I could say, but I just want to officially welcome you, my friend, to the Bamboo Lab Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so great to talk to you again.
It's been like 3 years since we've spoken.
Yes, it has. And we both have been very busy with our businesses, right?
We have been. And, you know, as I was sharing with you prior to the recording today, you are kind of the epitome or the symbol of what this podcast really is, because what I've learned, as I share with you, Naomi, is I've learned in the past 2 years of doing the show that something I didn't really realize prior is that how all of us are surrounded by such amazing people. And I always knew you were an amazing person, but now, 3 or 4 years later, to look at what you're doing, I'm thinking she's like one text away from me, and I would never have picked up on that years ago, how much you're doing. And I think that's exactly why you are the epitome of, you know, an ordinary person doing extraordinary things. So thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule and coming on the show.
Absolutely. It is my pleasure. I love sharing my story with many, and I'm excited to share this with your listeners today.
Well, they're going to be excited to hear it. So can you tell us, you know, I know obviously quite a bit about you, but can you share with us in the audience a little bit about yourself, where you're from, you know, a little bit about your childhood, your family, who or what maybe inspired you growing up? Just get a good sense of who you are.
Sure. So I am a local Grand Rapids, Michigan girl. I grew up on the southwest side, Wyoming area with my family, and my parents still live in the little house I grew up in today. I was a sister to one brother, but I was also a child that grew up with an illness. And a lot of people didn't know that, even my close friends at you know, I tried to hide that. I grew up, I was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis at the age of 7. Doctors had thought I had had it at the age of 3. So my life growing up was already difficult, right? And back in that day, the doctors really didn't know how to treat what I was dealing with. And I had exploratory, you know, surgeries and things like that. So again, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, for anyone to feel pity or anything like that. It's just you'll get a better understanding of where I've gone and how I've gotten there as I move forward with, you know, what I'm talking about. So, so I grew up in the Grand Rapids area, had one brother, great mom and dad who really and gave me a firm foundation in God and Christ, which I really look always to that first. I've always put God and my beliefs first. We always go through little things, though, in our life that can challenge us, right? So God, it was always my one go-to. And then Jane Goodall, I really think Jane Goodall was a really big influence in my life. A woman that can go in the jungle and sit there and live with apes for quite a while is pretty recommendable to me.
Do you know that Jane Goodall believes that Bigfoot exists?
I did not know that.
She does.
Wow.
Yeah. She believes there's a very strong probability that there's a bipedal primate that lives in North America.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that
That's incredible.
Yeah. I love her. Huh. I think she's awesome.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing. She's pretty amazing. So that's pretty much like, you know, my background and me growing up. But, you know, just to give you an idea and where, you know, I'm headed to with this. So in 2017, I do have 3 amazing, wonderful kids that are all above 20 years old. And I've been able to raise my ex-husband and I raised them just, you know, they're all grown up now, and we're so happy and proud of every single one of them. But in 2017, you know, we all go through some very pivotal times in our life. If we're blessed and lucky, then, we have this amazing and wonderful life. But I think there's always going to be times that challenge us, no matter what they are. And unfortunately for me, I had some significant challenges as I was growing up, where my mental health was affected many different times, right? So as a child, I faced bullying and just differences with other kids. And so I'm able to talk on bullying and some of the things that we're seeing in society right now. So with that, in 2017, as I moved forward with life, I did have our challenges growing through life. And, you know, my husband and I were married for 20 years. We had 3 beautiful kids. Kind of just went through life. I did have another medical scare in 2012 where I had a tumor that grew into my abdominal wall. It was non-cancerous, and I went through 12 surgeries due to that. So, yeah, it was like I had this thing go wrong, then I had another thing go wrong, and then in 2017 was my pivotal moment where I was in a distracted driving accident, and I had a brain injury along with other injuries. And I spent some time in one of our rehab hospitals here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And during that time, I couldn't put sentences together. I couldn't, my motor functions were very, very weak. You know, and it took quite a long time for me just to like regain everything that I had lost, you know? And so like, that is, was my pivotal moment where I was like, oh my God, what is wrong? What's happening? You know, I couldn't drive. I had people taking care of me left and right. And, I kept praying because I had three kids at that time, and two of them were in school still. I just kept praying, like, why am I here? Like, please just give me a reason why, you know, my life was spared when so many others are not, right? Right. The driver that hit me didn't see me, and I was hit out of nowhere, right? So that's that one pivotal moment that can change our life in any blink of an eye, right? That can happen to us at any point in our life. And so, you know, at that time, I was really suffering, and my mental health was affected huge. My physical injuries had gotten to the point where they had, you know, healed. However, I had some internal injuries that no one was seeing that I really needed some help with. And I kept going, you know, back to the doctors. You know, I would have to go, you know, you go through when you're in a really bad accident, you go through the rehab, and then you go to an outpatient rehab, and you are still going, you know, through the processes until your new neural pathways can be redeveloped. Now that's, you know, with a brain injury, they have to help you redevelop these neural pathways, because way that you've been doing it is not working after a catastrophic injury like that. So, your new neural pathways are getting developed, and I'm still struggling with some physical issues that are going on in my world. And I just kept saying, Lord, you know, if there is something that you have for me, please help me get through this, because I didn't know at that time, like, what on earth? Why would you spare my life? And a lot of people go through this, you know, whether it's, you know, you're dealing with domestic abuse situations, or, you know, other, you know, car accidents, or, you know, addictions. You know, there's so much trauma that's happening in this world right now. And so we're seeing so much of it. And so anyways, long story short, I ended up, you know, getting my new neural pathways developed, and I just kept saying, give me some reasons. And so I would see on the news, you know, the distracted driving, the human trafficking, the acts of violence with or without guns and weapons. And I would see like all of these things going on in our society. And this was like, wow, this is incredible. We really got some problems going on, right? So, and now mind you, this was a long time in the making, but you know, in 2017, I started developing a plan where we could start hitting some of these issues that we're seeing in society by no fault of our own, right? So, for, you know, I talked about 40 years ago, we didn't have like some of the things that we're seeing in our society, like social media and these cell phones, right? You and I, like, we didn't have that. Like, no. And our lives have changed so drastically because of all of these things. And, you know, we've allowed for these certain things to happen by no fault of our own. So 4 years ago, or not 4 years ago, but in 2017, I started a plan, and it started out as a distracted driving campaign. I was so angry and so upset that my life had changed in that one moment because I had worked so hard to get to the point where I was, you know, doing well. I had, you know, survived the RA. I had survived the tumor and I was doing pretty well. And, you know, and then all of a sudden to be hit and then just have to deal, go back to the basics and then deal with the brain injury and then deal with all these other things that I was challenged with. And, so, and Naomi, you know,
that was right after you or right prior to you and I meeting then.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yes. It was December of 2017 when I had that brain injury. I think you and I had met in 2018.
Yeah.
Because there was a time where I just couldn't even drive. And I think our mutual friends knew that at that point. And anyway, so long story short, I put that into a distracted driving campaign. I met with a good friend of mine who is a judge in the East Lansing area, Judge Aquilina. I brought the campaign to her and I was just like, you know, I need some help. This is really, it's a struggle for me. Not only because was I hit a month after I was hit, my uncle went out to get pizza for his family and he never came home. He was hit by a distracted driver and plowed into a tree. So, you know, there's so many things. So I went on this mission to help society, at least with distracted driving. You know, I didn't know, you know, over the course of time, what it was going to turn into. So I went on and did a ton of research with, you know, my neurologist, my psychologist, my, you know, or judicial officials, emergency workers. And I, you know, I gathered all this information, like, where are we headed with society, right? And so over the course of, you know, 4 years, I did a lot of research. And let me just share with you just on where I'm at today. I don't share this with you to feel pity or anything like that. I just want to help your listeners understand that the power of one moment can really alter someone's life. So where I'm at today is I was diagnosed not 9 months after my accident. They finally found out that there was something else going on with me than just a brain injury that I had had. And, you know, on the physical injuries that had healed. So they had found that I have something called trigeminal and occipital neuralgia. I was treated with some of the wrong medications and given some of the wrong therapies in the beginning, which is why my mental health was so affected. You know, I just had felt like, you know, the medical community was not hearing and listening to me on what was actually going on. And so it took 9 months for them to actually say, oh my gosh, this is what's going on with her. This is what she has. And this is how she needs to be treated. Right. So again, you know, I was treated with wrong medications, given wrong therapies, but now at the end of the day, I am given everything that I need to move forward. So today, you know, every week I get an infusion, which helps my body just kind of stay mobile and be the best person that I can be. And then I routinely, once in a while, if my trigem and occipital neuralgia will inflame, then I have to get shots up through my nose and into my skull. Yes, that is not fun. Oh. It is absolutely grueling.
Wait, so this was after the distracted driving accident. That's when mm-hmm. We got the wrong treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you and I maybe were, you know, I think when you and I had met, you know, I was probably, you know, going through some of those wrong treatments.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But anyways, you know, hindsight's 20/20 and we go through our highs and lows in life and, you know, we have to keep moving forward and just saying, no, I'm going to rise above this and become better because we can ruminate and we can leave ourselves into that state of life of what was me. I'm not going to be able to do this because I feel this way. You have to keep trying. You have to keep moving forward to be the best person that you can be. So this is where I'm going to take you today. You know, like I said, over the course, you know, since 2017, I put a lot of research into what we can do to help our youth get through and have a better society overall. In 2023, And let me just also preface this as well. You know, my neural pathways were redeveloped, and I chose to kind of just really hone in on what we could do to help, you know, make society a little bit better. I also chose to hone in on assisting others because so many assisted me back in the day. I had been working through Hilton Hotels at the time, and they had to get rid of 250,000 jobs during the pandemic. And so I had studied nonprofit law prior to the pandemic happening. And a good friend of mine said, "Hey, I need you to come over here and help me." I told him, like, "I lost my job." He's like, "Come over, help me." And then I just decided and dedicated my life to serving others because so many had helped me during that time. And when we choose to do that, we're shifting, we're making a mind shift, right? And so I studied the pandemic laws, and he works in an accounting firm. And I said to him, "Hey, you've got tons and tons of business owner clients. They're going to need lots of help." And he's like, "Okay, it's on you." So my expertise became consulting business owners through and guiding them, helping them through the pandemic. And, you know, just counseling them in different ways, and mental health wise too. You know, many were struggling at that time, like, how am I going to get through this? You know, so I think my backstory had given them a little bit of hope, and then also knowing the tax laws too, that, you know, can help too.
Yeah, that didn't hurt.
So, yeah. So in 2023, the project, our textpledge.us had become, you know, I'd hired teams to, you know, help with this or help with that. And so we put together these activity books for youth from K to 12, which takes 10 of our country's biggest dilemmas and puts them all in one source. It teaches youth on the statistics of distracted driving, acts of violence, and so many more. Each grade level has 5 specific books for their grade level. I think there's K and 1, and then 2 through 4, and then 5, 6, and then middle school and high school. And so we showed them, like, how are we going to deal with this? You know, like, so the distracted driving, we educate, what is distracted driving? How do we you know, look at this and help our parents see, like, what is distracted driving? Like, you know, all these little things, like, and so we're teaching the youth at a young age that it's important, but it's also beneficial that they help teach their parents, right? So we all know that the brain, it takes 6 times for it actually to register and move. And so by helping the littles,
it takes what?
It takes the brain 6 times. Like, if you know advertising, right?
Yeah.
So it takes the brain 6 times to see something and actually act on it, unless it's really, really important.
Right.
So we don't really register things when the brain is given it 1 time. So we know that it takes a while for the brain to kind of, like, remember certain things. So my mission was to help, you know, students see and know that there's, you know, dangers in society. So that's what I created with TextPledge. And so now there are, like I said, there's activity books for youth from K to 12 on 10 of our country's biggest dilemmas. You can go and learn about the website more. We have teams that share the national statistics on, you know, distracted driving, acts of violence with or without guns and weapons, and the list goes on. You know, there's so many, domestic abuse and assault. You know, I would encourage anyone to just go learn about it. We have teams that are put in place to kind of help build and build up this organization. So, and if any of your listeners are interested in looking at our books, we're more than happy to send them their way, because they are all free on our website, right now. But let me take you back to mental health, because I kind of got off on a little tangent with with TextPledge and the organization that I started. So mental health and just dealing with trauma is probably one of the hardest things that we're seeing in society now, right? When I went through my own trauma, I chose to hyper-focus and kind of isolate myself, and we can do that. That's what victims of trauma do. So I'm going to teach your listeners what happens to the brain after we deal with trauma.
Okay.
But let me take you through. I want to take you through like why we're seeing so much of it now in this world, because we're having a hard time kind of how we deal with trauma. And that was my main focus way in the beginning, is I was having a hard time dealing with it, you know, just knowing, like, I went through a car accident. They were saying, this is wrong with me. I'm saying, no, this is not. I'm saying I have something else wrong, and they're not listening to me, right? And so, like, my mental health was, like, really affected. And I understand, like, when you have certain things going on, you really, really need to listen to your gut instincts. But so let me just take you through, you know, your daily lives and contending with, you know, everyone's journey, and everyone can relate to this. So on the home front, you're dealing with your home maintenance, your family, your friendships, the kids, media, meals, daily life, cleaning, pets, extras, right? That's just on your home front. And then you have your social life, which is all the commitments that you make. You have your work, you have school, you might have both. Then you have to deal with transportation, your cars, anything that you utilize to get to and from. And then you always have to present your best self when you're dealing with others. And you also have to deal with your, you know, colleagues or schoolmates. Then you have your extras, right? All your extracurricular activities, your sports, the arts, everything, right? So you have all of those to contend with, and all right in the center are your emotions, your feelings, and the memories that we have. Then in can walk the ugly trauma, right? And affect those emotions at any single point during the day. You can deal with cyberbullying, bullying, you can deal with a car accident, you can deal with other things, you know, addictions, whatever. And that trauma is going to affect every single part of your emotions. And when the brain deals with trauma, it changes. So its abilities are to fall, flight, fight, or freeze. And then we don't know what to do. And so after trauma hits, and I've known several people, and I do consult many that go through trauma and how they need to get through, you know, and develop their new neural pathways to move on, shock and fear and isolation kind of come in. And that's what happened with me. I chose to really dive myself into certain areas and isolate myself and get rid of my distractions, right? So your new normals are going to have to be developed, no matter what you deal with. If you had physical injuries, or if you've just had I'm not looking at brain injuries lightly, because they are very significant. If you had a brain injury, if you had trauma that's really affected you, those neural pathways have to be developed, and it takes a while for them to develop. And that's where we're seeing, like, it's not the easiest for people that have gone through trauma to really get through and just hop back into the swing of things of life. And so, you know, like, a lot of our veterans deal with mental health issues and from things that they've seen and witnessed. And so for them too, it's really, really difficult to kind of just jump back into things, because everything was affected, right? And so how we deal with certain things matters. And so, you know, I have this diagram that I use when I'm doing the presentations, and I show how the trauma comes in, and then I show how we're expected to speed everything back up and just keep up with society and move forward. Well, that's not how everyone deals with things, right? And so we have to learn that it's more patience driven more than just kind of speeding back up with things. And so, you know, Brian, I'm going to give you guys 10 ways to kind of mind shift so you can create a better you in 2024. And these are things that I have done and I personally do every day to make sure that I am mentally focused and make sure that my family is in line, and my friends are too. You know, I share with them what I do, and I hope that your listeners might get a couple little tidbits of information that they may be able to use to move forward. So, one is just practice gratitude. This is a very, very powerful way to shift your mind. So in the morning, spend 3 to 10 minutes just in the morning intentionally focusing your energy on the things that you are grateful for. Remember, what you have, someone else is probably praying for. We have, you know, we have in our society, we have in the U.S., we have the ability of freedom. We have a roof over our head, most of us, and we have meals. And so those are things that are really, really important, you know, that we just really need to intentionally be grateful for. Another thing, okay, number two, is to focus on the present. Focus on the things right now that you can improve for your mental well-being. You can make lists of things that you would like to accomplish every day, and then just make small steps to improve your mental well-being. You know, every day, sometimes, you know, when you face your things that you're going through, you know, like when I went through my brain injury, I was so, so sad and so upset and so angry. And I knew that it was not good for me to be around certain things. So I would just take make my little notes and say, okay, today I'm going to choose this. I'm going to choose this, and I'm going to just keep moving forward. And I had to focus on the things that I needed to do to be present with that day. And here's a good example. When I was going through rehab, I would have to put sentences and remember certain things about, you know, stories that I would listen to give my answers. And my brain did not want to work. I was just like, oh my word, how am I going to get through this? You know, and I just was like, no, I don't want to do this. You know, and my therapist would be like, come on, Naomi, we know you got this. And I just was like, oh, I don't like this. I don't want to do this. And I would get there and I would just like, I would be seriously, really, why am I? But I would do it. I would still make myself do it. And and I would get there, and my dad would pick me up, and, you know, I was so like, oh, I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. But he would pick me up, and my brain would be so exhausted from how hard it had to focus that I would need a nap afterwards. It would be 2 hours of rehab, and then I'd come back and I would be like, oh my Lord, this is awful. But, you know, so I really had to focus on just the little steps to be present in my moments. So anyways, that's number two. So I know hopefully some of you guys can relate, like, just today?
That's the one. I struggle with that one consistently. I mean, I do. So
yeah,
I'm writing a lot of notes down here.
Okay. I'm more than happy to send you my little presentation too. You don't have to make
please,
the notes.
Please.
Okay. So number three is create boundaries and cultivate positive relationships. This can be so difficult for so many of us at times, right? Because sometimes we have those negative and toxic relationships in our life that we just really can't, you know, eliminate ourselves from, right? And we know they're not healthy for us, but they're still there. And so for those of you that are struggling with a toxic relationship, and you know that you don't want that anymore in your life, you know that this is not healthy for me and I just need something to move forward, you're just going to have to distance yourself from that. And you can, you know what, you can say, you know what, that was the old me. I'm working on myself. I'm choosing to be a better person now. So I really don't want to engage with that. You know, for me, you know, sometimes it's family, you know, and sometimes it's just you know, relationships where you know you're not good for each other, right? Yeah. So you're just going to have to walk away. Protect your energy. You know, that's one thing that you really need to work on. Everybody does. Protecting your energy. Yes, we can be servants to many, but if we're not really helping ourselves, then we are not doing really good for ourself internally. So, you know, I meet so many people, they say, well, I'm a servant. That's good. But make sure that you're a servant to yourself too, because, and I'll get into this in a minute, because again, if we're not helping ourselves, then who are we helping, right?
Right.
So another thing that you can do is initiate. A good friend of mine showed me this, the Hope Project. So help one person each day. You can help guide them, or, you know, give them a book, or, you know, just give them a compliment, something like that. That helps you do initiate hope, but then you're still protecting your own energy on what you want to do to get through to the next, to your next, you know, journey of who you want to be in life. You know, so that's super important. Just create your boundaries and cultivate your positive relationships. Number four, set realistic goals for yourself. Don't be a marathon runner in the beginning. Okay. I had a huge goal and I was just in a distracted driving campaign when I started, you know, organizing my thoughts. And I had no idea, you know, how that was going to progress into something else. But you don't set a huge goal in the beginning, because we all know that it takes steps to get to these goals, right? So if you do decide to set a big goal, if you want to, you know, write a book or you want to start something new, what are the steps that I need to do to get there? Investigate, take that time to really research and figure out what are the steps that I need to get there. We all know the marathon runner has to really practice a lot to get to that marathon. So that's really important. Put the change in to make that happen, to really continue to work on that goal. And here's where I was talking about earlier, practice self-care and compassion. If you want others to believe in you and help you along with your journey, practice self-care. Make sure you're nourishing your body with proper vitamins and foods to fit along with who you want to be. You know, exercise, drink plenty of water, really focus on being compassionate to your physical body and strengths. You know your own strengths and attributes. So focus on those so that you can be a good example to others.
Is that number five?
And then what's that?
Is that number five?
That was number five. Right, yep.
Good. I'm going to make sure I got these in order now. Actually putting a star next to the ones I feel I'm doing very well at. And there are already two out of five that I'm not doing very well at.
Okay. Yeah, so. All right. Well, we can't all, you know, make them work all the time, right?
I got something to focus on. I got things to focus on. Yeah.
Okay. So prioritize rest and sleep. This is number six. It's very important that your body gets enough rest. I know people that work two jobs just to make ends meet. And, you know, you just really need to, if you need a nap during the day, do it. You know, some of the greats, like, some of the greats, what is the, some of the, like the Plato and
Plato,
and
Socrates,
people like
Aristotle.
Yes. Like they would just take breaks during the day and just like go rest their mind. Yeah. It wouldn't necessarily go to sleep, but they would just like go rest their mind and like get it back in centered. And so those are things that you can do. Just take like 15 minutes and just be like, no, I'm going to center myself. I'm going to get this right. And then move forward. Really important.
Can I say something? Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Because so, I think a lot of people are thinking, oh, I take breaks all day. I get on my phone. I look at social media. I peruse YouTube. I wouldn't call that rest, would you?
No, that is not rest. No, resting is completely emptying your mind and just really just focusing on you. So yeah, it's putting away the phone. It's, you know, maybe putting on some soft music, you know, something just to really like close your eyes and just say, okay, who am I? What am I doing? How am I moving forward with my life? That is really focusing on your rest per se. I agree with that completely. Engage in activities you want to do or try. So we only live once, right? After my brain injury and I was really working on me and I had gotten back, I was consulting with business owners and my daughter came to me. She was struggling at the time. And I said, well, I'm going to go jump out of a plane. Would you like to go do that with me? She chose to do that. So we went skydiving. And, you know, do something for yourself that's really going to be impactful and that you really want to try. Don't do it for anyone else. Do it for you. You know, we only live once. Another one. Oh, this is a hard one. Okay. we are on number 8.
Right.
Practice self-talk. This is one of the hardest things for a lot of us to do. Be very mindful of the thoughts in your head. Your mindset is extremely important to help you along with your journey. Never give yourself the talk. It's too hard. I can't do this, right? We can't do it. If I said that and I just gave up every time when I was in the brain injury clinic, I probably would still be there. So we have to really keep focused on, I can do this. I will do this. I will get this done. I am this. I am that. I will choose to work hard at my goals. Those are the things that we really need to make sure that we put in place. Okay.
That's a really tough one.
It is a very, very tough one. And it's a very hard one for us to really kind of get through daily, right? We all can fall, but we also can rise. So really focus on that daily. If you find your mindset moving down, say, nope, I'm going to have it move back up. Number 9 is set a calendar of 4 things that to write down daily, 4 goals. Right? 4 goals of that you're going to get done through the day. This is huge. It's so powerful. And it will help hold you accountable for that day. We know that we all get busy with life. But if you look back and you say, oh my gosh, okay, I had 4 things I want to get done. And I got, you know, I got all 4 done plus 2. This is great. You can look back and do a reflection journal in the evening and say, hey, I did this, I did that, and I did this, and I need to pat myself on the back for doing that. And then just repeat that the next day. You're going to notice that your mind is more focused and driven to get your goals done and where you want to go. That helps you, that will help you believe in yourself and just keep moving forward, right?
That's perfect. Now, is there a reason why the number 4 is important?
You know, a good friend of mine gave it to me.
Okay.
He had said, try it. And he's like, it's really powerful. I'm like, all right, well, I want to try it.
I do 3 and I didn't know if there, and I just like the number 3. I was just wondering if there 4 would be better.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, do as many as you want. When he gave it to me, I said, I'm going to do 4, but then I would make a list and then my list would be too long. And I'm like, then I got frustrated. It's like, oh, I can't get this done. So then I just had to divide it up. Right.
That's when you have to set realistic boundaries. Number 4.
Yes. Yes. I got to go goals. Back.
Yeah. Go to back.
For sure. Yes. Okay. So the number 10, I always, always recommend to seek counsel or professional help if you need it. Your brain, and I have to repeat this, the brain does not finish evolving until age 26. The brain does not finish evolving until age 26. So if you are under age 26, please remember that. Never be in a crisis mode and act alone. And that's so, so important. I have to repeat that again. Never be in crisis and act alone. Because when we do that, we sometimes do things that we should never do. And the reason why part of the reason I started Text Pledge and this project was, one, because of my uncle, myself. But then I also had a dear friend who committed suicide and she acted in crisis. Mm-hmm. And then my assistant, who her and I work very close with, her brother was 14 just this fall and acted in crisis. And, you know, when we choose to do things in crisis, again, our brain is not acting right. And so that, you know, became my mission, is to educate students that when we're in crisis, our brains are acting different and we should never act upon that. And so for the listeners, always reach out for help. And don't just reach out to one person, reach out to many, because, you know, you deserve, you know, to live a great life. You deserve to just be your best self, and your situation will change no matter where you're at. It will change. You can take that from me.
I want to recap what you just said in these 10 things for the audience. But before I do, I want to share with everyone that last thing that you just said, you know, never be in crisis and act alone. That might be the most important thing anybody's ever said on this podcast. And I do think, I looked at your Text Pledge website, and everybody, I want you to get on there. We're going to include a link in the show notes today, and I want you to click on a specific thing. It's called the crisis card that they have in there, and it's a list of all the phone numbers you can reach out to in specific crises, so, you know, for child abuse or drug and alcohol abuse, suicide hotline. So whenever you're experiencing at that time and you feel like you are in crisis and you may not have anybody to reach out to in your life, or maybe you do, but you need someone who's more qualified. She's got, I don't know what you have here, 10 numbers or so for for everything.
Yep, right, and this is just for the U.S. Yeah,
right, for the U.S. Right down to even animal abuse and neglect hotline. I mean, this encompasses a lot of the major crises that we as humans go through. So please print this out, put it on your fridge, put it in your briefcase, whatever, your backpack, and have it with you in case you need it. Because like Naomi said, you are never actually alone. No matter how you feel, you are not alone. So that's really
yes,
cool.
It's so true.
So everybody in the Bamboo Pack, I want to just recap really quickly because this was important stuff, and I had to chuckle at how many I'm not doing right. So number one, I'm just going to summarize these. Practice gratitude. Number two, focus on the present and take small steps. Number two, create boundaries and cultivate positive relationships. Number three, set realistic goals. Number four, practice self-care and compassion. Number five, or that was number five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number six, prioritize rest and sleep. That's one I laugh at because I'm bad at that. Number seven, engage in activities that you love to do. It's about you. This is your life, man. Number eight, practice self-talk, positive self-talk. Be mindful of the things that you know, the thoughts in your head. You know, what do you say when you talk to yourself? It's a good question. Number nine, set a calendar of four goals a day. Number 10, seek counseling and professional help when in crisis. Never act alone. And I look at this one. I'm very content in 1, 2, 6 of these. Where I'm not good at is focusing on the present. I'm always looking to the future way too much, and that stresses me out. Setting realistic goals. Nope, I'm not good at that. I'm working on that. This year is a focus of mine. And when I set my goals for the year, it's like, come on, man. You're probably not going to hit that. You're going to get discouraged again. Rest and sleep, not good at that. You know what I'm good at, Naomi? I take a lot of naps. I do take a lot of naps.
Right.
I take a nap probably 3 to 4 times a week. 20 minutes usually, 20 to 30 minutes. But I just don't sleep long. I get up at 5:15 every morning as my alarm goes off. And no matter what time I go to bed, that's when my alarm goes off. And I get up and then I'm dragging all day. And sometimes I have a hard time going to sleep at night. But my son Dawson did buy me a sound machine for Christmas. So that has helped me a lot. Just some white noise. And the other thing I'm not good at is I'm doing 3 goals a day. I'm not doing 4. So that one I'm kind of on track for. But those three, the focusing on the present, setting realistic goals and expectations, and rest and sleep are the 3 things. Now that I have these highlighted, I'm going to start focusing more on those 3 things. I want to be at least content in all 10 areas.
Awesome.
But that number 10, that I love that one because I think so many people are so afraid to reach out for help from a friend, a family member, a coworker, or professional help in this case. There's a stigma in society that, you know, maybe more so for men. I don't know. I seem like I talk to a lot of men who won't go to marriage counseling or I don't need counseling. I'm like, dude, I've gone to counselor. I've gone to probably, I don't know how many counselors I've gone through in my life and therapists. And I, you know, other than a couple, everyone has made a major impact. And now that you have, what's the, BetterHelp, you can get right online and find a therapist. It may not be, I don't know if they're as good as the ones you see in person, but you have an option online to do online or over the phone therapy for a consultant somewhere else in the world. So these are really good, man. I love these.
Yeah.
I like, they're simple, but everyone my skeptical mind was coming out going, okay, let's see if I can poke a hole in one of these to think, okay, there can't be 10 really important things. I'm like, yeah, there are 10 important things to do. And every one of these will have a major impact on you. I love this. This is so powerful.
Yeah. And, you know, our program will be available in other countries. We're working on it. So we've had, you know, other directors from different countries reach out to us. So, you know, our goal is to go global as quickly as possible, but really help implement the right key factors for every single nation. So thanks again for having me. This is really nice.
I'm not done with you yet. Do you have a few more minutes?
Oh, you're not?
No.
Okay.
Come on. Our audience wants more than 49 minutes with you.
My gosh. I'm so sorry.
Well, I want to know. I'm curious. Since you've begun this journey over the past 7 years, since the accident, distracted driving, then you've kind of branched off to just really helping people in a broader arena. What has been one big learning you've really realized that you didn't know before?
Oh, my word. The one big thing that, you know, we are never alone in our journey. We have, you know, I talk about this. We have become a nation that is so connected, right, with all the social media and everything. But we've also disconnected, right? And so, you know, fixing that norm needs to change a little bit. And the power of a moment is so, so crucial. Like, we're looking at the inventions of AI right now and what it can do. It can do some really, really cool things. I mean, some of the things that I've seen have just been overwhelming. Like, you can create an avatar that looks identical to you and speaks like you, and it can speak in 160 different languages like you. Those are some really cool things, right? Yeah. But the AI, it's still, there's something missing, right? What is that? That's the emotion. So I think we're going to see over time, as AI kind of continues to develop, right? We're going to see all this artificial intelligence, and we're going to be missing the emotion of what humans can do for each other, right? And so we might be kind of like, isolating ourselves just a little bit more. But when we actually do have authentic, real relationships with people, we're going to see those emotions come out. And so really, again, you know, the power of one moment and how it can really affect someone is crucial. You know, it just, the emotional intelligence, helping others rise to being more emotionally intelligent is really key. So I think that's one really big thing that I've turned and learned on my journey, is to just rise above and keep rising and keep rising, and not let the emotion of others affect you. When I talk with students, I show them, you know, a blank piece of paper, and then I ask one to, you know, come up and then crinkle it up, right? And, you know, they crinkle it up and show ball, and I'm like, oh, squeeze it just as hard as you can, right? And then they do it, and then I say, hey, take this paper and then flatten it out and make it to where it was before. And they look at me like, hey, lady, I can't do that. Are you kidding me? And so I share with them the power of how emotions affect us. So, yeah, you know, we can have this confrontation or interaction with someone, and we're not going to remember what they do or they say, but we're going to remember how they made you feel, right? And so just like that piece of paper that was so nice and clean and neat in the beginning, it now has changed. And that power, that emotional thing that you did to that person, it will never change. So it's just like that piece of paper. So you can't change the way that someone has made you feel. And it, you know, that relationship will change, that, you know, you can always remember how that person made you feel. And so that trust becomes a little bit different now, right?
Oh, I love that.
And so I always emphasize the power of our emotions really play a huge factor in our daily life.
I just love your statement. You've mentioned this three or four times. You've said pivotal moments, then you said the power of one moment. And mm-hmm. I think about all we have at any given time in our lives is one moment. It's this moment mm-hmm. right here. And how are we using it? Are we using it to waste time? Are we using it to downgrade ourselves or life or other or the world? Or are we using it to empower others and lift up the world? You know, you only have that one moment. And I really like what mm-hmm. I love the acronym HOPE. Help one person each day. I think I love that. I do a thing called I track a lot of stuff. I'm a really big nerd, Naomi, when it comes to tracking. Like I have an expectation of myself on like 33 areas of my life that I have to do these things. Like I have to take my vitamins 7 days a week. I have to drink X amount of water, call my mom 7 times a week. And one of those is practicing 7 acts, random acts of kindness every week. And I just started this 6 months ago. And I started off with 1 a week, then went to 3. Then I said, why don't I just do it 7? And sometimes, you know, it's most of the time, it's like I run into the gas station or the grocery store, and there's subtle things, you know, asking the clerk, hey, how's your day? And looking at his or her name tag and calling them by the name. And I've just noticed for me, I feel happier. And I love when somebody looks like they're in a bad mood and they're having a bad day behind the counter at a gas station, and you start talking to them and you walk out and you look back, you can look back and you can just see the change in expression on their face. I mean, it's just like you made one little impact on that person that could have that butterfly effect to the rest of the world. I had a guest on last year, Naomi, named Art DeLorenzo. Amazing show, amazing man. He's a friend of mine. Out of New York and then Martha's Vineyard. And he was talking. He said what he has learned in life is acts of kindness are the greatest sleep medication in the world. He said when you do something kind for a person and you go to bed and remember that person's face, it'll put you right to sleep. And I thought – and it does. Mm-hmm. I sometimes think about – I don't do it every night, but every once in a while when I'm having a hard time thinking or sleeping, I'll think of what did I do nice for someone today or yesterday or something. And it just gives you that sense of calm, like the gratitude journal. I do my gratitude journal in the morning. I think I'm going to shift till tonight. I know you do yours in the morning, but you said something about mm-hmm. evenings doing – oh, it was – doing your
reflection.
Reflect on what did you accomplish today? You know, your 3 or 4 goals. So, mm-hmm. okay. I have one final question. And this is my favorite question. And the audience tends to like this one. If I had a time machine and I was going to come down to Grand Rapids today and you and I were going to jump in it, we're going to go back to, let's say back to when you were 20 years old, you pick a time in the past and you could fly back and you could sit down and talk to your former self, your younger version of yourself. What would you say to her? What words of wisdom, life lessons would you give her?
Okay. So you're probably going to laugh at one of these. One would be, don't drive, don't get in the car.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But another one, you know, just focus on you, focus on your health, focus on, you know, your goals and where you want to see your life, you know. So I think that talking to my younger self, I probably would have stayed away from some of my temptations because we do have those when we're young, right?
Yeah.
I would have said stay away from those more than anything, and just really focus in on the things that you want to do to make your life better and the lives of those around you better.
Mm. Love it. So, folks, listen to this. So this is a good thing. Naomi would have said this to her younger self. You can say this to yourself today, everybody out there. Focus on your health, your goals, where you want to see yourself in your life. Focus on your life and stay away from those negative temptations that are dragging us down. And we all have them, not just in childhood. We all have them as adults. And I talk to people every day who confide in me some of the things they're going through that you look at them and you think it's so simple, just don't do it. I know it's a little more complex than that, but if you can work on every day, staying away a little more every day from the temptations you have, whether it's food, alcohol, drugs, pornography, drinking and dry, I don't know what they would be, bars, whatever they might be. If you can just a little bit eliminate those every day, try to get the drinking and driving one, eliminate right now, but the rest of them just eliminate a little more every day, focus on just releasing the power of those temptations. A little bit at a time over mm-hmm. time, you're going to gradually realize you don't need them anymore. So, okay. One last question. What's next for you? You got all the stuff going.
Well, I am working on a book right now, so hopefully that will be done within the next month or so.
Oh, wow.
But that really is it. I do, right now I'm doing speaking presentations around and just talking on mental health and how we need to mind shift and kind of be vulnerable with each other.
Okay. Can we talk a minute after we're done airing?
Sure. Good. Absolutely.
I have a couple ideas I wanted to share with you. So,
sure.
Hey, you know, I was excited to do this show. It's crazy because we're going to be right at 60 minutes. We're at 59 minutes right now. We timed it just perfectly. This was better than I thought. I really love, I'm a list guy. Like I like when, hey, 10 things I can work on. I can wrap my head around that. So I think what you did a great job that I loved, and I know the audience listener out there was going to love it too, is that you people can look at this and say, okay, there's 10 things. I can do those 10 things. They're not complicated. They're not complex. And maybe everybody just start on one today. And then maybe next week, add a second one. Over the next 10 weeks, add one a week until 10 weeks down the road. You're doing all of these 10 things on a consistent basis. I really like that. I just love the idea, the power of one moment. As you were talking, I was just looking outside at the snowbanks that have piled up in the last few days here. And I'm thinking about one moment because I focus so much on not being present. I'm always... Even when I'm talking to somebody, some people can say, I don't think you're even here. I'm like, oh, you're right. I'm thinking about tomorrow or next year or tomorrow. You know, and I'm like, I gotta come back. And I've had a hard time with that. But I just love the idea of one moment, power of one moment. What can I do in this one moment? That's all I've got. I don't have tomorrow. I don't have yesterday. I've got right now. So thank you for that. That stuff there emanated really well with me. Is there any question that I didn't ask, Naomi, or that you wish I would have, or any final thought you want to leave with the audience?
No. Thank you so much again for having me. It was very nice to catch up with you and talk with you.
It was awesome. So thank you again. And we'll talk in a minute here after we're done. But thank you, Naomi. Okay. This has been an amazing. I know I'm going to get a lot of heart letters through text, email, cards, and letters in the mail. And I'm this is going to be a big impact. And I can't thank you enough for what you're doing. With Pledge Tech or Text Pledge, as well as your speaking. And I can't wait till this book comes out. So maybe we'll get you back on again this year.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for being such an inspiring guest on the Bamboo Lab podcast, my friend. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in this week. You'll hear us again in a few days. Just know that I love and appreciate each and every one of you out there. I really do. I don't know most of the vast, vast majority of you personally, but just the fact that you're here listening to people like Naomi and our amazing guests tells me you're the kind of person that I have a great deal of love and respect and appreciation for. So have an amazing day. We'll talk to you in a week. In the meantime, please get out there and strive. Strive to be your best version of yourself today. Get out there and love. Love other people. Respect them and show love and respect to yourself as well. And also get out there and live today. Live intentionally and consciously. Appreciate each and every single one of you.